And had he not done anything else but saved my soul, that would have been plenty. And I owe him everything for just showing that somebody like me, somebody's unworthy and somebody's undeserving as I am. Amen. He's worthy of our praise tonight. And I bless his holy name. Amen. Amen. I hope you know him. I hope you're saved tonight. Amen. It's good to be saved. Thank you for welcoming my family in tonight, Preacher Roy. We love you. We love your family. We love this church. We thank you for sending our pastor over to us. Honestly, I've learned more under his preaching than I've learned my entire life. We've been going to Bethel now a little over 8 years, going on 9 years. Been saved for several years, but when I went to Bethel and sat under the preaching that come out of this church, from under this man, I've learned more and I've got closer to God than I've ever been in my entire life. Church, you don't know where seeds are planted. You don't know what's happening in people's lives when preachers come and go, when they go out to pastor other churches. You don't know whose lives are affecting. But let me tell you something, you're making a difference in everything you do. Amen. I want, on behalf of my family, we want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. We can still say that, amen. And I encourage you not to forget why we celebrate Christmas. We was down in Irwin, Tennessee this morning and didn't want to go back to Burnsville. We just drove on over, got over here around 3 o'clock and just dropped Patricia and Sarah off. They went into some different stores and stuff. And everywhere you looked, there was just crowds and crowds of people. Everybody seemed angry or aggravated. And help us as a church, if we're in here tonight, help us to remember why we celebrate Christmas. That we keep Christ first and we act like Christ would act when we're out in the public's eye, amen? Because we have, whether you believe it or not, somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching to see how you act on your everyday life. And you may think that you're nobody, you may think you're small and insignificant, but can I tell you tonight, somebody's watching you. And you can be a testimony to a lost and dying world just by how you act. Amen. Help us as we get out in the public and do all these things to remember to keep Christ first in Christmas. Amen. That ain't my message tonight, but that's what God laid on my heart as we was kind of sitting there. If you want to open your Bibles, be turning to Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter number 13, we're going to start off reading there. We'll be jumping around different places tonight. And I don't know about the rest of you preachers in here. When you go somewhere new to preach, you kind of want to have something familiar, something that you're kind of comfortable with. Don't ever get comfortable in the pulpit. But a message that you're comfortable with. But it seems like the last several times that I've got to go different to new places, he's given me a new message. So you're hearing this just like I am for the first time tonight. And I pray that you'll be patient with me, that you'll pray for us above all, and that we'll keep Jesus first. If he'll get me out of the way, if he'll get my family out of the way, and you can see him through something that's said, something that's sung, or even just reading the scripture, it'll be worth it all. Amen. Amen. If you want to, you've been sitting for a while. If you want to stand with me, we're going to be reading Acts chapter number 13, verse number 14. We'll start there and read down through verse number 23. And the Bible says, "But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelled as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. And for just a few moments this evening, we want to look at this man, David, a man after God's own heart. Amen. Let's pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for allowing us to be in your house tonight. God, we don't take for granted the moving of the Holy Spirit in this singing service. God, we pray God, that you would keep stirring in your people's heart during this time of preaching. God, I can't do anything. I can't do nothing on my own, but God, you can do all things, and that's the God I'm serving tonight, the great God of heaven, the one that saved my wretched soul, the one that can do anything and everything. And Lord, we're looking to you to help us tonight for just a little while. God, I pray you'll help us get ourselves out of the way, that much can be made of Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, we love you. Thank you, God, for what we've failed already. God, I pray your will be done in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I want to be looking just at, on this topic tonight, a man after God's own heart, or how to be a man after God's own heart, or how to be a woman after God's own heart this evening. We think about this man David that we just read about here in verse 22, the man after God's own heart, which shall fulfill all his will. When I think of David, I think of several different adjectives that I could describe him with. I think of him as a poet. I think of him as a warrior. I think of him as a musician. I think of him as a shepherd. I think of him as a theologian. He wrote so many books of the Bible. I think of him as a sinner. I think of him as king. How can one person be described that? There's no other person in the Old Testament that can be described like King David is described here. Who was this man? David, he was born in Bethlehem in the land of Judah around the year 907 B.C. He was the youngest of the seven sons of Jesse, and only 10 generations removed from Judah, one of Jacob's 12 sons. He was a descendant of Ruth, the famous Moabitess. He was a red-cheeked, bright-eyed, handsome young man who used to tend the sheep of his father Jesse. Now, Saul had been anointed king. The people wanted a king. God didn't tell them they needed a king, but the people wanted themselves a king. So let me tell you something tonight. If you want something so bad, God will give you the desires of your heart, but it may not be everything you need. God knew they didn't need a king. They needed him. They needed the King of Kings. Amen? But God gave them the desires of their heart, and they anointed King Saul. And after so many years, Saul, he fell from grace. He sinned, and God anointed this man David, this young boy here, to be king over Israel. After the death of Saul, David saw that as a time to emerge from his exile that he had went away from where he ran from in fear of Saul. It was time for him to come. He left Ziklag and proceeded to Hebron in Judah. And there the people of Judah gathered to anoint him king officially. And in the prime of his life, at around 30 years old, King David ascended the throne. He was a wise man. He was wise in counsel, prompt in action. He was a God-fearing man. He was earnest, and the people recognized him that he was the best candidate to be king. It wasn't all those features that made him the best candidate, though. Can I let me say this? He had the anointing of God on him. That's what made him the best candidate to be king right here. Now, the King David, he was not a perfect man. Usually, this man David, when he did something, he did it in a mighty big way. When he was attending to the flocks of his sheep, he'd pull his harp out and he'd play music to God Almighty to pass the time. And he didn't just do things in a little way. He did things in a big way. When a lion came, he didn't just run it off. He grabbed it and killed that thing by the hands. He did things in a big way. When a bear came, he did the same thing. He grabbed it, he killed it. And he did things in a big way. When Goliath and the Philistines were oppressing Israel, and this giant, he was making fun of God, and the nation of Israel was cowered down in their tents and trying to hide from him. This little boy David took a stand for God. He didn't just face the giant, he defeated the giant, he destroyed him through the help of God Almighty. He did a mighty big thing. But at the same time, when he sinned in a big way. That's what we think of. Usually when we think of King David, we think of him and his fall with Bathsheba. That's what tends to come in our minds when we think of him. Aren't you glad that God, he can forgive us of our sins and use us in spite of ourselves? Amen. I'm glad no matter what you've done, no matter how low you've gone, no matter how far you've gotten away from God tonight, if you'll call on God's name and ask him to forgive you, he said in his word that he is faithful and just to forgive you of that. He will use you once more time. Amen. Just because we mess up, the devil tries to beat us down and make us think that we're worthless, that we're useless, that we can't do anything for God. And we sit alone, defeated, trying not to do anything, because that's exactly what the devil would have us to do when we fail. Friend, can I tell you something? We all mess up. We all make mistakes. We all go astray. We do things to sin against God Almighty. But aren't you glad that he doesn't, when he looks at me, when he looks at you, if you're saved tonight, he doesn't see you. Isaiah says, our righteousness is as filthy rags. If it was up to me, my righteousness would be filth in the sight of God Almighty. But I'm glad when he looks at me, he sees the blood of his son Jesus. When he looks at me, he sees me redeemed through his son, amen. And I'm glad that when he sees me, he don't see me, he sees Jesus, amen.
man. The answer to why David was considered a man after God's own heart is really found right here. It says in verse 22, which shall fulfill all of my will. Now the short answer tonight is, how do you want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart? Do the will of God. But I believe that we can go a little farther than that. We can learn much about his character, and I want to look at some of the characteristics that David had that maybe we can try to attain in our own life. Number one tonight, I see that David, he had a heart full of love for God. And as I studied the life of David, this one quality stood out above the rest. He loved the Lord. He really did. He loved God in a mighty big way. And as I was studying about the life of David, I think, Lord, do I love you the way I really should? Lord, so many times I fall short. I let things in my work and in my personal life, in my family life, everything gets in the way of my relationship with God Almighty. We seem to be so busy. Do I love Him like He deserves? I mean, I can understand why I love Him. I don't know why He loves me, but I know why I love Him. He saved my soul from hell, amen, and He deserves the best that I can do. But David, he loved God. He really loved Him, and I can't think of any person that represents what Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6 says. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And just listen, just what David wrote in the Psalms describes his love for God. Psalms 18:1 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Psalm 63:1 says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Even as a boy, as he's tending the sheep for his dad, his heart was stayed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He would write songs and play in his harp for the Lord to pass the time. And no doubt as his fingers passed through those strings, don't you think that God would just come down and bless him right where he was at? I'm glad that I don't have to be in a church house to feel God move in my life, amen? Some of the best times I've ever had in the Lord is when I was driving alone in my car heading to Burlington or somewhere for work, and God just come in and move through a message that I'm hearing on the radio or a gospel song, or just in the dead silence when I get alone with God and let Him speak to me. Oh, there's nothing like when He comes down and passes by, amen? But we find the same theme here. When David was a boy, he loved God. But even as an old man, we see that he really loved the Lord. And he was talking in 1 Chronicles 28:9 to his son Solomon when he was getting ready to pass the torch of the throne to him. And he says this, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Wholehearted devotion right here come from a love of God Almighty. He had a heart full of love. And I believe that was the first step that it took for him to be a man after God's own heart. Secondly tonight, we see that he had a heart bent on obedience to God. He was a man that obeyed God's word, what he told him to do. After removing Saul, God made David the king of Israel. And he testified this concerning God said this, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill my will, that we read here in verse 22. The quality of obedience, especially here, set David apart from what Saul was like. Saul was known for disobedience, but David, he was obedient to God Almighty. Samuel, in 1 Samuel 13:14, announces to Saul, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. I think it's important to keep in mind that in many ways, Saul was probably a very good king in his time. And if we read further on over in the scriptures, we see compared to some of them later kings that came along in Israel, Saul was pretty good compared to them. But he wasn't David. He wasn't a man after God's own heart, amen? But on several different occasions, He offered God, Saul here, he offered God only partial obedience. When he was told to wait for Samuel to come do the offering, he waited, but he didn't wait long enough. And when he was told to destroy all the Amalekites, he killed most of them, but he didn't kill all of them. He did part of what God said, but he didn't do it all. And I know this, what God calls partial obedience is this, it's just simple disobedience. That's what Saul was. But we see here David, he had a mind and a heart bent to be obedient to what God told him to do. In the closing words to his son in 1 Kings 22, when he was passing the torch once again, he says, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. He was telling Solomon, if you want to be prosperous, if you want to lead these people, if you want to be a man after God's own heart, you be obedient to what God tells you to do. Amen. We can learn that from him tonight. If you want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, be obedient to what God tells you to do. Amen. Thirdly, tonight we see he had a heart shaped by the Word of God. Now, David's relationship with the Word of God is probably best expressed in one of the own Psalms that he wrote here. And if you'll turn with me to Psalms chapter number 19, Psalm 19, we want to read this little section that David wrote, Psalm 19 and verse number 7. David's relationship is probably best expressed right here in his own very words. And it says in verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Your relationship with this book, amen, this is one of the clearest indicators of the condition of your heart. Do you love the Word of God tonight? Is it precious to you, or is it something that sits on your shelf and you pick up once a week to bring to the house of God? Does your Bible collect dust when you're at home? Do you spend time in the Word of God? Do you realize this tonight? When you're praying, you're talking to God. But when you're reading His Word, He's talking to you. This is the Word of God. It's inspired, it's holy, and it cannot be changed by man. What God said here, it's permanent, it's steadfast, it's true, and we can count on it tonight. I love this Word, and King David, he loved the Word. Of the 150 Psalms, David's credited for writing over half of them in this book right here. At different times in his life, when he had sinned, when he was in great triumph, different Psalms that you can read that David wrote. Oh, how he loved the Word of God. In Psalms 119, he says this in verse 44, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. It's not hard to see David's complete adoration for the Word of God right here. Also notice how that he meditates on God's statutes. Now what does that say? He didn't just read the Word. He carried it with him in his heart wherever he go. And all day long he would think about it. He would meditate on it. He would ponder on the things of God. He would spend his time meditating and thinking upon the Word of God. He loved it so well. We would do well to not only read God's Word, not only read it, but to hide it in our heart so that would be a light under our feet and a lamp under our path, that we could have it indwelled in us. Who knows, we may be in an accident in the coming weeks, lose our eyesight, lose our hearing. What would we do if we lost both of these and not be able to see or hear the Word of God read anymore? Have you read enough to have it hid down in your heart that when hard times come, when the storms come, you can't get your hand on a Bible? When you need help from God, is there enough hidden in your heart that it can speak to you when you're all alone with God? Amen. We would do well to do that and I'll ponder on it all through our day. For God loves us to think upon Him. And in fact, He's worthy of all of us to keep our mind on Him. Amen. Psalm 119, 1 through 3 says this, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Are you in love with God's Word this evening? David was. It was one of the qualities that God was looking for when He chose Himself to be king. It's one of the qualities that He needs in you today to be a man or a woman after God's own heart. Hide His Word in your heart. Get you a love for God's Word and put it down inside of you. Amen. A heart shaped by the Word of God is something to do to be a man or a woman after the heart of God. Fourthly, tonight, we see a heart sustained by faith in God. Part of why David is called a man after God's own heart is that he had absolute faith in God. He didn't doubt him. He trusted. He knew God would do what he said he would do. And he could trust him no matter what came. And nowhere in Scripture do we see this point illustrated. When he stood against the giant in 1 Samuel, we see here just a young shepherd boy, weak, frail. Now, I don't know about you. When I was that age, I wouldn't have stood in front of a classroom. I wouldn't even stand in front of a little bully in my school. I was that scared. I didn't want to be hit, didn't want to be hurt, didn't want to be in fight, didn't want to get in trouble at school. But King David, he knew God was on his side. He didn't care to stand up against the lion. He didn't care to stand up against the bear. He didn't care to stand up against the giant and a whole nation of Philistines behind him, amen, because he knew what God was capable of. He knew how good God had been to him in his life, and he knew that God had promised him that he would be with him. David knew early on that God could be trusted if we obeyed him. And as we see in Scripture, David's faith pleased God, and that God rewards David for his faithfulness. In his own words, and David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me." Didn't say he might deliver me. We might make it. We might get by. We might skirt by. He said this, "He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And we've seen this same trust in God as David's grown up into a man. He and his men have been cast out. He was kind of running from Saul. He respected Saul as king, and he fled the country to get away from him. When he and his men had been in battle, they returned. They found their village at Ziklag. It was looted. It was empty. Their wives and their families were gone. And David's old men turned against him, blamed him, threatened to even stone him because of what they had found when they returned. But there's a little wonderful phrase tucked away here in 1 Samuel chapter number 30 and verse 6. And it says this about David. But David, he encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Even in the most difficult of circumstances, when everything seemed to be crumbling around him, his family was gone, his wife, his children were gone, his best friends were turning and threatening to kill him, God said, the Scripture said that he encouraged himself in the Lord, amen. Even in the most difficult circumstances, you and I can do the same thing. There's no storm big enough tonight that's too hard for God to handle. There's nothing that you're going through tonight that God didn't put you there for a reason, amen. He didn't take you. He didn't put you there by accident. He's trusted you with this storm that you're in. One of the most famous psalms that David wrote, of course, Psalms 23. Probably if I started quoting it tonight, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You can continue on with me to the end of it. But this is a psalm that is, above all, it's a psalm of trust. It's talking about the sheep's confidence and trust in the shepherd. That's how much David loved God. He trusted him like a sheep trusts the shepherd. And he knew all about that after tending his flock for so many years and protecting them. He knew God would do the same thing for him that he did for those sheep. And even in a mightier way, amen. That's the same God that you and I are serving tonight. Aren't you glad that he loves us tonight and he'll protect us and be with us no matter what this life may throw at us? Amen. His faith in God, once again, we're looking when he's passing the torch to Solomon. He tells us this in 1 Chronicles 28:20. And David said to Solomon, his son, "Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." Where do you find your strength this evening? Where does your strength come from? In what or who are you trusting tonight? Are you trusting in God, or are you trusting in somebody around you? Are you trusting in yourself, not even needing God? It seems like a lot of times we just use God as a spare tire anyway. We don't need him till trouble comes. We was in driving somewhere a couple of years ago in our van. We hit a nail or something, got a flat, and pulled over to the side of the road, was going to change it, and the spare was flat. That's how I treat God sometimes. I don't know about you, but I treat him just like a spare tire. And if we're not careful, we'll let our relationship with God go flat. And he's not so big that he can't do anything for us, but why would the God of heaven only come to us and help us in our greatest time of need when we don't talk to him in the good times, amen? You and I don't like to be used like that. You know, you have people in your own lives that when you see them coming, oh, they just want something. They're just needing something right now. God help us that we don't treat the God of heaven like that tonight, that we treat him like he's only there to help us, to do for us, to please us when we need him the most. One of the greatest compliments we can give to God is to trust him in everything. And on the other hand, one of the greatest insults we can give to him is not to trust him with everything. He is our all in all. He should be our all in all. And he deserves the respect and the honor due to God. Amen. The man or woman after God's own heart will have a heart sustained in trust to God Almighty. Fifthly tonight, we see he had a heart broken by its own sinfulness. Now David, he was a sinner. I'm a sinner. We all sin. We all fall short, just like the scripture says, of the glory of God. But what set David apart that is after he sinned, he was truly repentant for his sins. His sin was Bathsheba. We know all about it. We won't read it tonight. But when he fell hard. And when the mighty fall, they tend to fall in a mighty way. And this fall included adultery. He was a liar. He was a murderer. He did all those things. How can somebody that did all these things still be considered a man after God's own heart? He had sinned against God, and in 2 Samuel he admits it unto Nathan. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. For what David did, he deserved to die. But God had mercy on him. Aren't you glad that when you sin, God has mercy on you? He doesn't throw you away. He doesn't cast you away. He doesn't kill you off. No, no, my friend. God extends grace and he extends mercy in a mighty, mighty way, even when we don't deserve it. And I'm so glad that he does. But admitting our sin, being sorry for our sin, that's just only part of the equation. We have to repent of our sins. That doesn't mean just being sorry. That means turning your back against that sin and not continuing in that sin. Amen. That's the other half that David did, and David did that as well. I want you to look with me in Psalm 51, one of my favorite psalms. And as we were snowed in the snow last week, we had a little service in our house. Miss Anna came over and spent the weekend with us. We couldn't go anywhere. We had 15 inches of snow at my house. So we had a little church that Sunday morning, had a little service there. And God, this is where God started this whole message flowing from, Psalm 51. And if you'll just bear with me, I want to read the whole thing. It's only about 19 verses. And we'll read that. But David here, we see how his heart was after he had sinned, how his heart condition was towards God. He didn't blame God. He didn't blame anybody else. But he blamed himself, and he asked God to forgive him right here. And it says in verse number 1, it says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. We see here a man that was so sorry for his sin, but he knew that the heart, the way to be a man after God's own heart was to come with him with a broken and a contrite spirit. God didn't care about his outward sacrifices. Let me say this, God doesn't care about you coming to church after you sin. God wants you in church. That's not what's important. Man, if you're just coming to church to be seen among men, you have your reward here. But God sees what's down inside of your heart tonight. Let me tell you something. When you come to God with a broken and a contrite spirit, he will forgive you of your sin. Amen. He is faithful, and he is just to forgive you of all that. But if you come in tonight with a flippant attitude and think, God, I deserve to be forgiven just because of who I am, don't expect to be forgiven by God. But he wants somebody to come broken and contrite unto him. And that's what David did. And that's, my friend, is how David was a man after God's own heart. How do you respond to sin when it's in your life? To be someone after the heart of the God, we need to be just like King David. Give him our all. Just show him our heart. Come to him with a broken heart and say, God, I'm so sorry I've sinned. Please forgive you. Forgive me. Deliver me from my blood guiltiness, oh God. Oh God of my salvation. And rejoice, restore the joy of my salvation. And he was faithful and just to do that. Sixthly tonight, we see a heart lifted in praise to God. David was also a man after God's own heart in that he was thankful. David says in Psalms 26, he said, I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass an altar, O Lord, that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving and tell all of thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. David's life, we see here, was marked by seasons of great peace and prosperity, as well as times of fear and despair. But through all the seasons in his life, through everything that he went through all the good times, through the bad times, through the hard times, through the times of when he prospered, he never forgot to give God thanks for it in each and every situation. He gave God, and it's truly one of the finest characteristics of David. And God, help me to be more like him. I want to be a man after God's own heart. Help me to be thankful for everything that comes into my life, whether it be good, whether it be bad, whether it be at times of prosperous when the money gets low. Help me to always be thankful to God for each and every situation. Psalm 100 says this, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. As followers of Jesus Christ, we would do well to follow the example that David laid before us. Amen. We see David lead an offering of praise through thanksgiving to God. So much of our Bible, the beautiful Psalms that he wrote, we owe to David. And he was a man who frequently gave God praise and glory. When they brought the Ark of God into the tabernacle, he danced before the Lord. We can just look about anywhere in Psalms to illustrate this trait of King David that he was thankful. But I want to look at one other place tonight, and we'll be finished. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles, chapter number 29. 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. If you'll turn left in your Bible, just a few pages, we'll get there. But 1 Chronicles, chapter number 29. In this scripture, we see the very last moments that King David's passing the torch on to Solomon. What was his last act as king? What was his lasting legacy here? What was the very last thing that he did? He led the nation in worship to God Almighty. Verse number 10, chapter number 29, it says this. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is thy greatness, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own we have given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and all, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now I have seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for thee which I have made provision. And David said unto all the congregation, Now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads, and worshiped the Lord and the king. That was his final act before he passed the throne to Solomon. From his days as a young shepherd boy to his final act as king, he was a man that thanked God for everything in his life. He knew where the blessings of God came from. And my friend tonight, that's one of the reasons he was a man after God's own heart. David loved his words and he followed it. As a man after God's own heart, or as a man seeking to be someone after God's own heart, We should follow the example that King David has given us in his book. What a mighty man he was. Even though he was a sinner, he was a man after the heart of God. And we can be the same thing tonight if we just live for him. As we stand to our feet tonight, my family's going to come back for one final song. I want you to stand here with your head bowed and your eyes closed for just a moment. I want you to search your heart and see if you have any of these traits like King David, this man that was a man after God's own heart. If you're saved tonight, and I hope that everyone in here under the sound of my voice is saved, do you have a heart full of love for God, or have you grown cold and indifferent toward Him? Do you have a heart bent on obedience to God, or are you following after your flesh and whatever you want to do within yourself? Do you have a heart shaped by the Word of God? Do you love the Word of God tonight like you ought to? Or are you being shaped by the Word and the world and everything in it? Do you have a heart sustained by trusting God, or do you trust in yourself? Do you have a heart broken by its own sinfulness, or does it even bother you when you sin anymore? Has it become so commonplace that it doesn't even bother you when you sin against God Almighty? God help us tonight. Or do you have a heart that lifts up praise to God Almighty? He's deserving and worthy of all our praise tonight. And He deserves the very best that we can offer Him. Or do you live your life with no regard, taking for granted the blessings of God? So God help us to search our hearts in that. My friend tonight, if you're here tonight and you've not been saved, let me tell you this, you too can be a man or a woman after God's own heart. All you have to do is call on Him. And I'm glad that when you call on the Lord Jesus Christ, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us of all of our sins, all of our unrighteousness, and put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've never been saved tonight, you can come and know Him in the free pardon of sin. He's waiting on your call tonight. 2 Corinthians tells us, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now, today, it's the day of salvation. Amen. If you don't know Jesus tonight, it'd be a good time to come and know Him. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You, God, for what You've done here tonight. God, I pray that You'll bless the furtherance of this singing. God, You know the hearts of Your people. And if somebody's in here tonight, God, that needs help, God, I pray You'll give them the help that they need. And God, while we sing this one little song, God, I pray that You'll stir the hearts of Your people. God, have Your will and way, and we'll give You praise and honor for all You've done. In Jesus' name, amen.